Good morning, saints.
Good morning. Good morning,
saints. Who here thinks of themselves as a saint? Raise your hand. Pastor Paul does. Oh, and Diane does. Anybody over here? Guess what? We are all saints, believe it or not. I think when I, well, actually there might be one that isn't, but. When you think of the word saint, what do you think of? Someone above reproach. Definitely not that one. Somebody really holy, don't you think about that? Someone very pious, someone, the Catholic Church defines a saint as someone who has lived a life of heroic virtue. Oh Lord, what does that mean? Is a saint someone who sits in a cave contemplating their navel? Is it someone, someone who has performed a miracle, someone who's been canonized by the Pope? Well, not really. A saint, I mean, a saint, well, maybe it's that. But a saint is actually more than that. And all of us are saints, which I think is a very interesting thing to think about. It's All Saints Day today. We're celebrating, actually, it was November 1st, but we are celebrating it today. All Saints is a day where we think about those who have gone on before us, the saints of God who have gone on before us, and we remember them and think about them. And so Apostle Paul, as he starts his letter to the Ephesians, he calls the Ephesians saints. He starts in verse 3, which is not in your reading, but you can look it up. Start by saying to all the saints in Ephesus. Our translation has an explanation of that word, but that Greek word, hagios, means holy ones or saints. So we also see in verse 15, if you look in verse 15 here, it says God's people. And actually, in the original Greek, it was that word hagios, or saints. So he is referring to the believers in Ephesus as saints. So see, we are saints too, which is cool. All right. So Paul sent this letter to the Ephesians. This letter would have been circulated actually not just to the church in Ephesus, but to all over the region. And Paul spent a great deal of time there. He had a real love for the church in Ephesus. And so he's writing this letter to encourage them. So if we are saints, what does that mean? Well, Paul sort of goes into a little bit of a description of what it might mean. He begins his letter by reminding them and affirming them of their identity in Christ. And I encourage you to pull out your bulletin and to maybe underline some of the things that I'm going to talk about, because I think as we go on this week, it will be good to look back on that and remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. First of all, Paul tells them that they've received an inheritance. In other words, they belong to God. They are one of God's own. Next, he says they were destined by the plan of God. So, they have a purpose. They belong and they have a purpose. Each one of us here belongs and has a purpose. We have this identity in Christ that's above and beyond who our mortal being is. Do you believe that? That you belong and that you have this identity and purpose in Christ? That's the question. I think probably one of the most common things that human beings struggle with is trying to figure out where they fit in the scheme of things, where they fit in the world. and whether or not they have value. I imagine all of us have wondered that at one time or another. Maybe going into adulthood, that's a normal time where there's that transition between teenagerhood and moving into adulthood, where you question whether or not you fit in. I think another time that we might have those questions is when there's upheaval in our lives, when things are happening around us or to us that are really difficult. We have that time of upheaval. The world and the people around us can be kind of harsh sometimes and can really question, help make us question who we are. But those are lies. That's what this passage says. No matter what anybody says about you, this passage tells us who you are in Christ. In case there's still doubt, there's another phrase in verse 15 that confirms our identity. It says, "You were sealed by the Holy Spirit." That means you were marked as one of God's own. We each have a mark on us. Of course, we can't see it, but we have this mark that seals us, this sealed with the Holy Spirit. We belong to God. Paul doesn't stop there because, of course, that would make a really short letter. So he goes on to talk about, since we've been given this identity in Christ, then what is our purpose? And he says we are called to be an honor to God's glory because we were the first to hope in Christ. In other words, our purpose is to live into that hope that we have in Christ. And we are to exemplify and reflect God's glory. I don't know about you, but I don't always feel like I'm reflecting God's glory. I know that might come as a shock to you. It feels like a tremendous responsibility to be reflecting God's glory, to reflecting that hope that we have in Christ. But that is our responsibility. We have this calling to be that glory and that hope for people out in the world. Like I said, sometimes it feels like I'm just trying to get through the day sometimes. And I imagine the Ephesians probably felt that way also. But Paul doesn't just lay this on them and then just leave them there. He prays this beautiful prayer over them. He prays this prayer to let them know that they are not doing it in their own power, that they have the power of God behind them. We are not left on our own to do the things that God is asking us to do, to live our lives, to go through everything that we go through. We have at our disposal God's power that's greater than any power. And so I'm going to invite you to just close your eyes and just imagine that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is praying this over you. "Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, this is the reason I don't stop giving thanks to God for you when I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that makes God known to you. I pray that the eyes of your heart will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call, What is the richness of God's glorious inheritance among believers? And what is the overwhelming greatness of God's power that is working among us believers? This power is conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength. Amen. That is the power that we have. We have that power that was at work when God raised Jesus from the dead. We have access to that resurrection power and hope in our lives. We have the power to get through whatever is going through in our lives, even when it doesn't feel like it at the moment, even when we're crushed by hard things that are going on. I spoke with my sister yesterday who looks like she will be getting a divorce after 36 years of marriage. Her husband has left. And she cried out to me and she said, I can't do this. I don't think I can do this. And I said, yes, you can. You can. You can do it because God is with you. And so whatever is going on in all of your lives, the difficult things, the good things, we need to remember that God is with us. Whether we're doing this rebuild here at the church, whether it's your personal life, whether it's your work life, whether it's your finances, whether it's your marriage, whether it's other relationships, God is giving us everything that we have, everything that He has at our disposal. As we're starting this new initiative, Family Promise, God is giving us everything we need. He's giving us everything we need to continue our work as elders and deacons and pastors and committee members and volunteers and all of the work that we do here in the church and out in our community. We always think we have to do it in our own power. I know I get stuck in that too. But it is God's power through the Holy Spirit that enables us to do the work that He has set in front of us. And we also have the power of all of those saints who have gone on before us. All of the work that's been done before us, whether it was 140 years ago when this church was established, or whether it was over 2,000 years ago when the church was established. We can stand on all of the work and all of the prayers of all of those saints. We have all we need to reach out and share the hope of the resurrected Christ. We have all we need to go out and share the good news of the kingdom with everyone that we meet. Please pray with me. Gracious God, I know that sometimes we come before You and we think we can't do it. We don't have it in us. But then we turn our eyes back on You and realize that yes, we can. Yes, we can, one day at a time, one step at a time. You give us what we need for this moment in time. Maybe not for tomorrow. You don't give us anything too far in advance, but You give us what we need right now at this moment. And so we come before You and we thank You for that gift. Help us to remember that. Help us to know that Your power is sufficient. We give You thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen.